Brothers and sisters, what is your strategy for helping you remember to do things? You know, all the things. Pick up a gallon of milk on the way home, pick up your child from school, pay the bill on time this month, your anniversary date coming up, your paper's due date, to replace the air filters at home, to change the oil in the car, to remember that today actually was supposed to be your day to drive the carpool, to remember that to not leave your glasses in the car that you're dropping off at the shop for repairs, to remember to bring your children home, all of them, from church after worship. How do you remember all those things? Do you tie a string around your finger? Does that work? Do you mark Sharpie on the back of your hand? Do you keep a to-do list on a sheet of paper? Keep a calendar on your phone to get reminders that come 2 hours after the thing you were supposed to do? Do you keep a calendar on your refrigerator? Or do you just trust your brain to hold all of life in it every single day? How do you do all this? Because we could use some help. I'm sure you've figured it out, even if we haven't. But what about the other things, the bigger ones, like remembering who you are? How about that one? How do you remember who you are? How do you remember your purpose? Your identity? How do you remember your God? What about those things? What do you do to keep from forgetting those when life feels like you've been thrown in the blender most days? The biblical witness to the world is of a creator God who is active and present in the lives of men and women. God is moving them, redeeming them, teaching, leading them, and pursuing the best for them. Verbs all around of God's relationship with humanity. And yet they keep forgetting who God is and who they were made to be. This irony is at the heart of the relationship between God and God's human creatures. They are created to live in relationship with God, and sometimes they do, but sometimes they don't. And they turn away and they go off on their own. This is the biblical story. And it's the story of our lives too. It's speaking into this reality that Psalm 81 gives a straightforward and simple reminder. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt. I think it's the only time in the Psalms that this exact phrase is given, this reminder, but it may be still familiar to you, and if it is, it's because you've heard it over and over again through all the scriptures. It's the opening line of the Ten Commandments. It's repeated over and over in Leviticus, which I know you read all the time. The roots of this reminder go all the way down in the biblical story, all the way back into Genesis, where God says to Abraham, I am the Lord who brought you from the land of Ur. And two generations later to Jacob, I am the Lord your God, the God of your father Abraham. And to Moses, I am the Lord your God, the God of your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Over and over, the simple, repeated reminder builds through Scripture. I am the Lord your God who in the past has done things for you and carried you along the way. God is reminding them what they forget. Your life is God's gift. God's desire is for you. Your identity is enfolded in God's good grace. It's who you are. It's who you were made to be. Did you forget again? We forget. We forget that we're creatures, not the Creator, that we're beloved and made to love, that we're kin with one another and all creatures sharing our common home, that we forget that we're given the gift to life and love, both life and love filled and fulfilled by Jesus Christ, who calls to us to be all that we're created to be. We're made to be connected, to breathe in the Spirit and breathe out mercy. We're made for a purpose. You matter. You're part of something bigger and better than yourself because you're made in the image of God as part of a world made for the glory of God. Every day you live, the task is no greater and no less than this, to be who you were made to be in the image of God. Well, we forget. We forget that we are not gods. We forget what God has done. We forget that we're not alone. We forget who we're made to be, and we forget just how dynamic it is to walk around in an otherwise normal, ordinary day, immersed in the presence and goodness of God's love, shining like the sun, like Thomas Merton once said. Instead, we become isolated, self-centered, self-serving, lonely, aimless people. We become like the character in Jesus' parable we heard this morning, and so we enter a room and think we must be the most important person in that room. Because really, deep down, having lost a vision for who we are and whose we are and who others also are in God, we might as well really be the only person in the room, because it's all about me. And that's a terribly lonely place to be. To a people who have a habit of forgetting over and over, God says, remember. Remember who I am. Remember what I have done. Remember your first journeys in life in this relationship. Remember when I delivered you from darkness. Remember when I gave you manna in your wilderness. Remember when the Spirit guided your heart and your mind. Remember the covenant between us. Remember those times in your life when you felt close to me. It's still who you are. I've not forgotten. Remember who you are. This isn't extra credit in spiritual maturity. This is what it's all about. This isn't the trim. It's the foundation. This is what matters most of all. And I think that's at the root of why this phrase is repeated so often in Scripture. I am the Lord your God. Remember. To remember is not merely to recall facts from the past like a student memorizing dates for a history test. That's a mental exercise and has value in it. Much of what we gain from reading the Old Testament stories is simply the pleasure and importance of retelling history. It's like at a family reunion when the same stories are told every single time. There's pleasure in recounting what happened in the past. But something more is happening when those stories are told, right? Something else is happening, not just recalling what happened back then, but something's happening as the stories are being told. Something wonderful and mysterious happens when you're part of retelling what happened back then in past generations and in your own life. It begins to shape who you are now. That's part of what it means to remember. It's remembering and becoming who you are, your identity, because it's so easy to forget. Now, full confession here. I have been chastised resoundingly at home recently for, full confession here, not wanting to see the new movie Lion King. Now listen. I like Lion King. I'm all for Lion King. I've just reached peak Lion King. Seen the old movie a bunch of times. I own the soundtrack. I've been to the Lion King show at Disney. And now a Lion King sermon illustration. I win Lion King bingo. But I don't want to see the movie. But there's something that's helpful here. Because the whole story, all those movies, revolves around this same premise, doesn't it? Forgetting and remembering. I think that's why it connects so deeply and is so popular. Simba, the lion, forgets who he is, the king of the jungle. After a tragedy, he turns away from his identity and shame and fear, which then leads to sloth and the problem-free philosophy of a life vacation. He forgets who he is until an old friend challenges him and a wise prophet leads him to the place where he can face the shame and fear that is woven in all of this in him. And it's there, facing it, that he hears a voice from James Earl Mufasa Jones. You with me? You remember when the spirit of his father spoke to him? Simba, you have forgotten who you are, and you have forgotten me. You are more than what you have become. Those are powerful words. Painful, but powerful. The prophet Jeremiah, the biblical Mufasa, growls the same challenge to people who have the same problem. Remember who you are. You have forgotten. Jeremiah says, be appalled, O heavens, at this. Be shocked, says the Lord. Jeremiah puts it like this, my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living water, and dug out cisterns for themselves, cracked cisterns that can hold no water. Powerful words, painful, but powerful. A fountain of living water, God's ever-giving life, flowing as a spring of sweet water. God's fecundity, as Bonaventure describes it, is God's life continually pouring forth creative love. This is who God is. God is a fountain continually pouring out into the world. This fountain is our sustenance and our renewal. It is our life. God is a fountain of life, giving water in the desert. Drink deeply, but we turn away. For whatever reasons, shame, pride, fear, we dig cisterns for ourselves out of ourselves, little reservoirs to catch and hold a little water for our little lives. We trade a fountain of living, flowing water instead to make little cisterns of ourselves. But we don't even do that very well. This is the judgment. You've traded the fountain of living water for a cistern, a cracked cistern that can hold no water. This vivid, painful, powerful image is laid there at our feet. How bizarre that we do this. How tragic. If this describes us in any way, no wonder we feel empty and lost. Sometimes I feel empty. Spiritually parched if I'm not drinking deeply and daily from the waters of life. If I try to go on my own power, I soon feel the dryness in my own spirit, like the well has run dry, like the cistern is indeed empty. In Assisi, Italy this summer, this image came vividly to me. I picked up a sandwich and a drink and a couple of peaches and a book and put on my backpack and set out to walk down the wooded, unpopulated side of the hill on which Assisi sits, on which it crowns. I wanted to be out in nature, and I'd read that at the bottom of this wooded hillside path runs a creek. And so I had a glorious vision for my day. I'd take my lunch and my book and leave all those people behind, people I love, you, and find a tree down by the river and snack and read until I fell asleep under a tree. Oh, what a glorious afternoon I had in mind. I set out on the walk and it was hot that day, baking hot. I couldn't wait to get down to the river, even though I knew every step that took me down there meant another step at the end of the afternoon. I'd have to climb to get back up to the town. But I went anyway with joy in my heart, peaches in my pack ready to eat, a river waiting for me. So imagine what I felt when I arrived at the Italian stream to find only a dry riverbed. Completely dry. Not a drop of water in it. No relief to be found. No source of life. No renewal. No afternoon nap. Oh, the humanity of it all. Some days, I feel like that river. Like there's nothing left in there. Like there's nothing left in here. Do you feel like this? On those days, the one thing I know for sure is that I'm trying to drink not out of the flowing fountain of life, the spring of living waters, but that I'm trying to survive on my own source of strength, my own self. Now, I might be saying all the right words and doing some of the right things, but if I'm not drinking from the fountain daily, I'm a dry riverbed. And so are you, I suspect. But when I'm drinking from the fountain of every blessing, my heart is more tuned to sing God's praise. My eyes are open to divine goodness shining all around me. My ears are unstopped to hear God's word of compassion and calling. And I'm much more the person I was made to be in relationship with God and those around me. We must remember to live in the living God. When we don't, our lives spiral into all kinds of things. Here's the root of despair and hopelessness and hatred and violence. It's all right here. Remembering can be actually not remembering. That was Simba's situation, to go back to that story. Remember, he had spent years out doing his own thing, serving himself and his own desires and needs. All the while, he actually literally could recollect the life he had and the purpose he was to serve, but he was severed from that past. His mind could recall it, but his soul and body weren't there anymore. You with me? To remember is not just to reminisce, but to live in the reality of what has made you who you are. Simba even protested when told he'd forgotten who he was. He said, "No, how could I?" Of course he could recollect, but the recollection was a source of shame, not hope, of pain, not identity. What he had to learn to reclaim was that who he once was, he still was to be. That the gap could be bridged. It was time for the water to flow again in the river of his life. Now, as I can recall, the Lion King story doesn't speak overtly of grace, but this is grace, being reminded, even when we're challenged, to remember who we are, being welcomed back home and being shown the path how to get there. Grace is the weekly Sabbath reminder to learn to be still and know that I am God. Grace is the daily reminder that God is to be praised from the rising of the sun to its setting. Grace is the Holy Spirit descending like a dove that we may be renewed. Grace is broken bread and red-stained chalice and knowing again that you are fed the bread of life and the cup of salvation. That he who was whole was broken, that we who are broken may be made whole. The table comes to our minds. When we come to communion, we usually rehearse the words Jesus said when he took the bread and cup with his friends on the night of his betrayal, saying to them, "Do this in remembrance of me." Now, you've heard that before. Do this in remembrance of me. Some churches, many churches, have an altar table with those words inscribed on them. So powerful words. Do this in remembrance of me. Now, certainly we know it means to recollect the source of our life and faith at what happened back then at the cross and the tomb. This is the source of our salvation. Rooted in historical events, we have faith in who Jesus was and what Jesus did, and everything hangs on that. On the night when he was betrayed, as the cross loomed, he broke bread and poured wine as the sign of his body to be broken and blood to be shed. The disciples gathered with him that night didn't understand everything. How could they? But they would understand, and they would never forget it. And from those days until now, Christians gather at the table to break the bread and pour the wine, doing these things in remembrance of him. But as we do that, we do more than reenact past events. When we do this in remembrance of him, we enter into the story. We are part of it. It becomes part of us. We're not just thinking about what the disciples did. We're being formed as disciples of our living Lord. We're not just remembering those who were once fed. We are being fed and nourished what we need for the life that we live now. Every time we break bread together, we participate in Christ's grace. Every time we share our lives with others, he is here. To borrow Jeremiah's image, we're drinking from the fountain of divine love and grace that flows all around us and through us and over us, washing us, cleansing us, renewing us until we become part of the river of life that flows. There is spiritual energy when you're a part of this. There's electricity when you're a part of this. When you worship with your brothers and sisters, you're not playing at someone else's religion. You're being fed. When you take the bread and cup, you're not just dutifully fulfilling an obligation to reenact an ancient meal. You're part of God's life now. It's true at the table, this electricity, the spirit, the wonder of it all. And it's true anywhere and everywhere. The material world is infused with the spirit. The church word for this is sacrament. It's at the table and it's everywhere. Christians share their food and share their lives with friend and stranger. It's at the baptistry and everywhere lives are transformed for good. And you've felt that electricity running through you in other ways and other times too. Those times when your soul feels at home in your body. When you feel like you are right where you're supposed to be. You know those moments? You're remembering who you are with your mind, your heart, your whole being. It's when everything we're a part is fused with the Spirit, infused with the Spirit. That's sacramental. God is here. And so this is the invitation that we're given. To remember the Lord your God who brought Abraham his new life. Who brought Jacob his family, who brought Israel from slavery to their new land, who brought the people back from their sin and their exile to their nation and to their temple. To remember the Lord your God, whose Son was born into this world, who lived and loved and taught and shared life and then was arrested and crucified by Pontius Pilate. Who was buried and 3 days later rose again. To remember the Lord your God whose Spirit is gifted to us and who gave us church and table and purpose and who promises life everlasting and who is with us now. Here in this place and goes with you as you leave and will never leave you and will never forsake you. Drink from the waters of life. Come, drink freely, drink deeply, drink every day, drink always. Let the river of life flow through you, through your mind, through your words, through your heart, through your hands and your feet, as you become a channel of blessing in your God, the wellspring of life. Amen.